The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio. Peter, happy Easter. Happy bank holiday post-Easter.
Cece, my little Easter bunny, happy Easter.
Thank you. Happy Easter to everyone that listens.
Yes, I hope you had a fabulous time, ate loads of chocolate and do whatever people do on Easter.
We sound very enthusiastic today, I feel. I feel like everybody... Well,
it's just another excuse for everyone to be a fucking cock, isn't it? I don't like Easter.
Oh, there we go. That's what I was waiting for. That was from
Oh, fucking hell. If you see more... Listen, all Easter was the people going, look at me, I'm in the beer garden, and then I'm going to go home and eat loads of chocolate. Shut up, you fucking prat. Just go home and do it.
Go home and do what? Eat the chocolate.
Do it fucking quietly. Oh, how do you eat yours? Well, fucking quietly. Not like you loud fuck.
Happy Easter. Yeah, it feels like you not only don't celebrate Christmas, but now Easter's on the list too.
I don't like events.
I'm hearing you loud and clear. I'm sure everyone that listens is too.
I don't like celebrations.
Okay, so when's your birthday?
November.
Oh.
I don't celebrate my birthday either. You know this.
Yeah, but I that makes me feel sad because I feel like secretly we could celebrate for you and make you very happy if you had all your friends in one room.
Well, it'd only really be you.
And Georgia.
And Georgia. They'd be us three.
Okay. Well, I'm all right with that.
And that's just about that. Yeah, that's literally it.
Who's there? Is it the dogs?
Dogs. They're just being a nightmare today. I've got like a courtyard bit over that way and they're in there, but they're just up at the window.
Looking at you, waiting for attention.
Yeah, but I've got a photo shoot with them later on today, so they're going to have lots of attention today.
Okay. Should we start the show?
Oh, yeah, is that what we're doing? Yeah, what are we doing?
I know that we generally just come in for a chat, which I love every single week, but we are doing something called The Dating Show.
Okay, tell me about The Dating Show.
Well, if this was someone's first time to ever listen, it's where Pete and I give advice about love, relationships, dating, people.
Advice being the loose term.
I was going to say advice because we are trained in all the advice that we give. So we
are trained in life fuckery.
Do you know, someone asked me that the other day. They're like, what are your qualifications in life coaching? And I was like, well, life coaching is a qualification. I don't have any. But why are you asking?
Living.
Yeah. Who?
We've experienced a lot of dating.
Yeah.
That's our qualification. We've dated a lot because we're a pair of slags.
Do you want to tell everyone who our guest is this week?
Shall I? Yeah.
So our topic and what's the guest? What's
the topic
on?
Is body language.
Boom.
We like this one. Topic's body language. Our guest is Annabelle Knight. No, she's not my friend. She may well be at the end of this, but I don't know her.
Okay.
She's going to talk to us about that. You may have seen her on TV and all sorts of stuff before. So she's an expert in body language.
Lots of questions.
Have also got the Love the Way You Lie to game and listeners' questions and stories. We are not doing Weird Wonderful Dating News because we are doing...
No.
A new thing that Cece has come up with.
Oh, shit.
What are you going to call it? It needs a name.
I'm going to call it The Poll.
Terrible. Really bad name.
Okay, how about The Long, Thick Poll?
Sexy. I'm a little bit hard, but still terrible name. Doesn't reflect on what it is. We're going to call it...
It was a poll. Where it started. Okay.
It was a poll. We're going to call it Dating a Well-Known Dickhead. That's what we're going to call it.
Okay, we'll
because
call it
the
that.
Poll was about
dating a well-known dickhead.
So Cece will tell you about that in a minute, but before we do that, what time is it?
Oh, it's that time where I want to hear you educate me.
Are you ready?
I am, because I feel like you've been letting me down recently. Angry that I'm still in Bali, I can feel it and sense it in your voice. So every week you just tell me a bit of a shit word.
This is not a great one. This is an interesting one. I'm always fucking angry. This is an interesting one, and I think there's probably multiple names for this. But this one is booty grazing.
Booty grazing?
Booty grazing.
Is it when you're in the club and you're like in tap that ass and you're in a club and then you're like shaking club. That ass and then you're like grazing it someone's willy? Is that what it is?
No.
Oh.
Any other?
I don't know.
Okay. Booty grazing. It's when you message multiple people at a time to try and confirm a hookup for the evening. The messages are generally pretty vague, like what are you up to tonight or do you want to meet later? Although they're obviously about sex, it's never actually stated. The key, according to booty grazers themselves, is to keep these messages general so they can be sent to as many people as possible with little to no editing. The only problem being is that obviously if you have more than one reply, you've then got to
sift through.
So I think there's multiple names for this, but booty grazing seems to be the more commonly used one.
Have you ever booty grazed?
Absolutely.
Okay. So have you got like a standard text in your notes on your iPhone that you just like, oh shit, it's 2 a.m. I'll send that one.
It was not necessarily 2 a.m. That's booty call.
Oh. Right?
So there's a difference. Booty call is that one where you've been out and you think, listen, who can suck me off tonight?
Right.
That's boot call.
Right. Okay.
So when you've already been out and you think, listen, I've not found anything out, who's gonna jump on the dick? That's booty call. Or for a girl, it's, you know, who's going to enter me. So, but booty grazing is the start of the night. So it's when you sat home, maybe, let's say it's about 6 o'clock and you think, oh, I'm a bit bored. What can I do tonight? You don't necessarily have plans. So you basically send out a broadcast message to people who that you can potentially then go and fuck. But booty calling, it's, don't confuse it with booty calling.
Right. I think I've booty grazed before.
Booty grazing is, it's more because you're not going, listen, are you going to come and suck me off? You're implying that you want to get sucked off, but you're not actually stating it. You're just sort of saying, what are you up to? You know? And then when they go, well, not much, I haven't really got any plans. Then you can go with, are you going to come and suck me off?
All right. Okay.
Whereas a booty call, I think, is more a, like, you just give a like a wave or a fucking flame emoji and then just do like a suck off, whatever. It's less direct. Okay.
What's the ratio? Like, what's your hit? Yeah, your hit rate. What's
I haven't done it for a while.
Weeks.
Years, I think.
Years. Okay. All right. Fine.
Just because I don't have that many fucking free nights, otherwise I would.
I think I prefer the graze to the call.
Yeah, there's nothing much. Yeah.
Yeah,
listen, it's a very, it's harmless. Who doesn't like a little booty graze?
Oh, I just started. It's all going out today. It's very exciting.
We are both exceptionally excited. Wow. So, yeah, booty grazing. I suggest people who are single, maybe add it to your repertoire.
I like it. No, I like that one. I'll take that one. That was good. Because I feel like I've done it, so now I can understand it fully.
Yeah. Next show, I will try and make something really disgustingly filthy that involves lots of cum and I don't know, stretching.
Yeah, because recently I've been playing Would You Rather, so I feel like my levels, and so my levels have kind of dipped. Like, they were already low and disgusting and really scraping the barrel, but since being here, they've got worse. So I'm waiting for that kind of, that to be topped by your sex book.
Okay. So next show, next week, I will really make sure it's a real, I will really give it to you.
Really give it to me.
I'll just pound it into you.
Really,
like a fucking pneumatic drill.
Should we move on? Yeah, let's move on. So what I did last week, so Pete, because you don't really watch any of my stories or care what I do on Instagram.
I've muted you.
I'm going to edge. That wouldn't surprise me. So that's why I get no any visits anymore. My following's gone down, as has my hits on stories. Maybe everyone's just like, fuck her in a Bali world. Yeah. So what we're not doing is Weird and Wonderful Data News, because last week I randomly put up something on my Instagram. I'd had lots of questions, so I felt it was necessary to put up a poll. And the poll was... if you went on a date with someone who was in the public eye, would you A, bring up that you knew who they were on the date, or B, not mention it because it's not a big deal? obviously I'd given like more information about the answers. So I got lots of different responses and the split couldn't have been more 50-50. So I mean, people quite like really like quite got, I would say quite heated about it because they felt that maybe they thought that I was talking about myself, which I was. So they were a bit like, you're not a fucking celebrity. Like, who are you to talk about this? And I was like, no, fine. You can have your judgment, have your opinions. It's absolutely fine. Don't mind.
Yeah. You are following me though. So
you are following me. Yeah.
And you don't know me. So
some of them weren't following me, but then they'd still message. Oh. So that always interests me. So I'm like, so you look at my page. Or maybe they unfollowed me. That's what it was. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, either way, whatever. Mine was very, very split. And what I asked people to do was write in to the dating show and share any stories that they may have had around dating someone in the public eye. So I'm going to read one to you and then we're going to give our expertise.
Okay, you dirty bitch.
You ready for the name?
Yes.
Mary Jane.
Oh, Mary Jane. Pardon
me. Mary Jane.
Good night, John boy. Good night, so, Mary Jane.
My Mary Jane. No, I'm not going to talk like that. So Mary Jane, she said, I had a few months of dating a relatively famous actor who I was fully obsessed with as a teenager. I used to have a fish and a rabbit named after him. And I actually met him three times before at various conventions and film premieres that I had waited outside for hours to meet him. Whenever we went there would be fans waiting outside hotels or people asking for autographs in the supermarket, etc. And I would just stand there this is obviously when she was dating him. I would just stand there like it wasn't a big deal, like I didn't know why they were interested, when inside I was dying, knowing exactly who he was and that I had pictures with him of him all over my wall 9 years prior. Luckily, I bloomed as an adult and he didn't recognize me. Well, okay. I'm already seeing red flags with this. And he didn't recognize me. But when I never mentioned that I knew who he was or what famous film franchise he was in, I managed to keep the cool the whole time and pretend like he wasn't famous. I think he liked that and didn't seem to know who he was and that I treated him like a normal person. He wanted more from me in the end. But I was a cold, this is her words, I was a cold, oh, it's disappeared.
He wanted more from me, but in the end, I had this cold bitch persona as a defense mechanism, and I regret we could have had perhaps been more, but I wouldn't allow it at the time due to my previous obsession.
Right. So you're telling me
I think I should let you handle this one, otherwise I'm going to say something that is probably going to be quite offensive.
Well, they're both playing a game. Because she's playing game 10, she doesn't know who he is. And he is, if he's going to get an autograph from somebody and she's never going to ask, why is that person asking if you want your autograph? Isn't that just fucking weird? Okay, so have you ever been on a date with someone and then someone's come up to you and said, Pete, can I have a selfie? And the girl you're with has not mentioned, why is that girl asking you for a selfie? Wouldn't that be fucking weird to you?
Yes.
You would just presume she knows and that's...
Nothing needs to be said. If you don't ask, listen, if you genuinely don't know and then that happens, which has happened to me before, I've been out... bear in mind as well, when we're talking about like famous people, I fully do not consider myself famous, neither do you. Like, we don't, do we?
No.
We're just people whose jobs happen to be on TV. So this is very different to, it's not like, we can only talk about this as at our level of fucking Z-list, not like Denzel Washington or whatever else. But then again, who doesn't know who the fuck Denzel Washington is?
Yeah.
So I've been out before. I've had all sorts of different things, actually. So I've been out before and then had been sat there with a girl from a different country. They'd asked me what I did and I said, I do all sorts of things because I do all sorts of things. Didn't really speak about because I don't really like speaking about myself anyway. I said, I do a bit of TV stuff and that's where we got left. Then I remember getting asked for selfies and all that sort of stuff and nothing, we didn't need to say anything. So she didn't really know, mm-hmm. but she didn't really ask because that was the end of the conversation. Then I've been out with people it's not been mentioned before and then that's happened and then they go, oh, fucking, I bet you get it all the time or whatever else. And they obviously know but haven't mentioned it. Fine. great. That's absolutely fine by me as well. Don't think it needs to be mentioned. Unless you start talking about work, I don't see what needs to be mentioned. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, well, I think what I'm getting at is it's more the pretending, because that's
pretending that you don't know is fucking ridiculous.
This is what I was kind of getting at when I did my poll, is people that pretend they don't know, because that to me then it's weird, and then you're almost putting yourself in that deceit. It's a lie, because you're not pretending.
It's not cooler to pretend you don't know. It's, you know, for example, again, I've been out on dates where people have gone, oh, like, what do you do? Why do they want pictures? And then I'll just go, oh, listen, I'll do little bits on TV, that's it. And then 2 hours later, when they've had a few drinks, they start going, so tell me what happened with this girl. What happened with this? What happened with that? And I thought you didn't know.
Yeah.
That then pisses me off, because I think, well, like, it doesn't matter if you do or you don't know. Like, I don't really like talking about it anyway, and it doesn't need to be a big fucking thing. But don't pretend you don't if you do, because then it's weird. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, this is why I think I struggle with my date life, because I just see myself as me. You know, I'm from Oxford, moved to London. That's it. I have a great group of friends. That's as simple as my life is. Mm. When I go to date someone, I don't see myself as, oh, I'm a girl that works on TV. I just see myself as me. But then I'm reminded by some of the things that they might do. So I think I told you one of the dates I went on out here, the guy grilled me for the 6 hours that we were on the date about Fred, about the show, about the whole production.
Are you on a show?
So on my show called First Dates.
First Dates.
He grilled and tried to say that he was coming from an angle that he works in TV himself. So he wanted to know like the ins and outs. I felt like I was at a fucking job interview and found it very, very weird. The other day I'd gone on, the guy said we just chat, you know, had lovely three hour day actually. And then 3 hours into it, he said, I've got a confession. I know who you are. I have actually been to the First Dates restaurant and you've actually served me. And I was like, wow. Okay.
I think there's a massive difference between, I just think regardless of what someone does for a job, whether you are an electrician, whether you are whatever else, if you know something and you want to talk about, but don't pretend you don't know things, or because I think I just don't like the idea of that. For example, Mary Jane, no offense to you, but no.
Absolutely just no, yeah.
Ridiculous. You had pictures. You've actually called it an obsession yourself, which just sounds a bit weird now.
It sounds very weird. Again, it goes back to the deceit thing. It's a lie. I would find that if I met someone and she was into them, and then later down the line found out they had pictures of me on their fucking wall. Oh, wow. I would probably call the police. I think I've always found it very odd until I have maybe seen or met people that I've looked up to who work on TV or who've been in TV. And rather than me saying to them, love your show, I won't mention it because I don't want to sound like I'm being one of their super fans.
Yeah, but you don't this is what I mean. You don't need to mention it. It doesn't need to be mentioned, but that's absolutely fine not mentioning it. I fucking hate talking about it. But then if it comes down to, right, so, you know, you're on a date with someone and he says to you, so what do you do? Then, and you go, oh, yeah, I do the big TV. And they go, yeah, I mean, to be fair, I knew that. Do you know what I mean? That's fine. That's great, because they've not fucking lied about it. You don't need to go up to someone specifically and say, by the way, I know exactly who you are. I've seen this, and this, and this. That's absolutely, you don't need to do that because that's weird. But pretending that you don't, and go, oh, so what do you do then? And then when they say it, go, oh, I didn't know that. When you do.
But do you think that they might be doing that to try and make you feel more comfortable?
It doesn't. It makes me feel uncomfortable, because then I think, why? Like, because then 2 hours later, when you're telling me, you know, this isn't this, I think, fucking shut up.
I know, when they get drunk and then it all comes out, and you're like, oh, there.
I just think so, it's what it doesn't matter. It really is so irrelevant what someone does for a job to me. In terms of the fact, as long as you work hard and do whatever, it doesn't matter whether you're on TV or you're not on TV. That's kind of my point of view of it. Like if I met someone and, you know, she worked in somewhere that I went all the time, I wouldn't be like, oh, I've never been there. I'd be like, yeah, I've got it all the time. I love it. I've seen you there before, actually. And I thought you're, do you know what I mean? How is there any difference?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there is a wrong or right answer, because like you said,
the right answer is mine. This is another thing. Fan, I hate as a word anyway, because you can appreciate someone's work. For example, it's very different, like I say, if you're Denzel Washington or something like that, because you can be a fan of who he plays. You're a fan of the characters that he plays and you're a fan of whatever else.
Yeah.
If it's someone that does fucking, you know, reality crap that we do, then you still don't know that person. So you're not really a fan. You just have seen the things they've done and either find it funny or dislike them or whatever it may be, but you still don't know that person. So it's fine to say whatever you need to say, and it doesn't make you a fan until you actually, I hate that fucking word anyway, but you've still got an opportunity to get to know someone on a completely normal level. You're on a date. So if you're on a date, you are completely and utterly level.
Agreed. But if people get starstruck, so then that takes away the level, because you're starstruck. I've been starstruck before. Like, I know how that feels. I wouldn't be able to hold a normal conversation with someone if I was starstruck by them.
Of course you would.
No, I'd act like a bit of a twat.
Yeah, exactly. So you'd be yourself.
I'd be a bit nervous. Do you think this is why people in the public eye date people in the public eye?
Do you know what? I don't necessarily agree with that. I think people that are in the public eye or whatever else date people in the public eye because they're used to it. It's the same job. So actually, you understand that, you know, if I get a job in, then I'm going to go and do it. Or if I make plans and then fuck me, like a big job comes in, I've got to go and do it, because that's how it is.
They understand the routine.
If you work, and I had for 10 years, I had a routine kind of 9-to-5 job. So I completely understand that actually that's your job. So if I've got a day off on a fucking Wednesday, I can't then, if I'm dating someone, go, we'll take the day off. Well, no, because that's their job. They can't do that. And I think it's just easier when you're in the, if you're two people in the public eye, you date each other, because they sort of understand each other's jobs a bit more. So
I hear you, Peter. I do. And I don't mean to cut you off, but I think we're ready for our guest.
Go for it.
And my phone's still not.
Okay, I'll go for it.
So you go for it, because I have nothing.
So the topic this week is body language. So we've got Annabelle Knight. Annabelle's an expert specialising in dating, sex, body language and relationships. She has qualifications in couples counselling, life coaching, and has a diploma in psychosexual therapy. She's done loads of different TV shows. My favourite one is Channel 5's The Good Girl's Guide to Kinky Sex. Annabelle has her own range of sex toys available online and is a resident sex and love expert for online retailer Love Honey.
There we go. Have you seen that show you mentioned? What was it?
No, I just read it then, and it sounds great. It
does sound great. Annabelle, come to us. How are you doing, Annabelle?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
We're good. We are very good. We just had a very deep and meaningful conversation, so we're going to light the mood with you.
Oh, good. I'm always there to be the colour.
Right, before we get on to this week's topic, which is body language, which is your forte, we are going to give you some quick fire questions. All right, we're just going to.
Oh, goodness, go on.
Yeah, we're just going to tickle your balls a bit, babe. so to speak. Date night in or date night out?
In.
Kissing or cuddling?
Kissing.
Giving gifts or receiving gifts?
Giving.
Dating apps or meeting in person?
Apps.
Whose opinion of your partner is more important, friends or family?
Family.
PDA or stay away?
PDA.
Dating several people at once or one at a time?
One at a time.
Dream job or dream partner?
Oh, can I have both? Partner. Yeah.
I always like it when that question gets everyone. Last one, single or taken?
Taken.
Lovely.
Nice. So, Annabelle, I've got loads of questions on this, because body language is something that Pete and I actually both quite like to people watch, don't we? So
love people watching.
I feel like I learn a lot by that. And I work on a dating show where I get to watch people on dates, which always fascinates me. But I still managed to get it very, very wrong, even after 8 years. So what is... Well, how can you tell when someone is playing that they don't fancy or they're not into that person by their body language, or that they actually are? Like, how can you tell the difference between the sort of reality of it or, yeah, whether it's real or fake?
Well, do you know what? It's kind of all in the upper body. So we call it nonverbal communication, and it's everything we're saying without actually saying anything. And around about 70% of our communication is actually done through nonverbal. So it is, if you can hone the skill, it's really worthwhile. So a few little things that people do is they blink less when they are interested in someone. It's almost like that split second when you've got your eyes closed. That's too much to bear without that person. So you might find that someone is they might seem like they're staring, and it might come across a little bit like, oh, why are they staring at me? But that is a sign of positive emotional intent.
So when people call me a creep, then I should say this.
I actually really like you, and I'm just really interested.
Yeah.
And then there's the whole idea of coming into someone's space. So like leaning forward, like physically closing the gap between you and that person. So if someone is interested in you, they will bring themselves forward and almost into your space. And that could be kind of just with their limbs, like their hands or their arms, or it might be their whole body. They might physically like take a step towards you. Opening up your heart. If you're not very interested, you might, you know, close yourself off, arms crossed. You might like be a fake itching, you know, that's a really common one where someone isn't quite into it, and they might try and create a barrier. And that's all that is. It's creating a barrier between you and that person. And then we've got the classic signs that are like fiddling with things like your hair, or drawing attention to sexual parts of your body. Maybe that you rest your hands in your lap because you would like their focus to be towards your genitals, and that's subconscious.
Yeah, I do that one a lot.
It may be that you fiddle with your neckline if you've got a particularly impressive cleavage that you would like someone to appreciate. It could be that you start, you know, just fiddling with something, pulling an imaginary thread. I see that a lot on dates. Like, oh, I'm just inspecting my clothing, when actually what I want you to do is secretly think about me naked and here are my breasts type thing.
What, you
so there's lots of little tricks.
And someone would actually like intentionally do that.
No. It's all subconscious. It's all kind of deep in the recesses of your mind.
But there's two different sides to that, isn't it? There is a conscious side to that and a subconscious side to body, because some people know exactly what they're doing, so consciously make the effort. For example, if someone knows a little bit about body language or has read a little bit about nonverbal communication, and they can mask that by doing the things that you're supposed to do to...
Are you talking about yourself, Pete?
Are you giving your secret
view?
But for example, someone always told me about something called the BBR rule as well. Which
you're gonna have to go on
with belly button. So your belly button, the direction of your belly button states your interests. So
that's really interesting, because I haven't heard it called the BBR rule before.
Belly button rule, I think.
Belly button rule. Well, we also look at our feet. Apparently, your feet point to what you want. So if you are interested in someone, you will square your body language, your hips, your feet, your shoulders. They will be facing that person. If you're not quite so sure, you may twist at an angle, and you know, if you're not interested, chances are that person will actually cross their feet. So again, it's about creating barriers. So if and interestingly, when you said, you know, you can learn the rules and then kind of flaunt them, you can, but it's very fleeting. Most people will slip naturally into subconscious body language. I think it would take someone very calculated to be able to control their body language to deliver a specific message.
That's more something I think that if you are doing that, that's less kind of dating and more on kind of work and networking.
Yeah, business type things. Yeah. Neuro-linguistic programming and that.
It's my fucking favourite thing to read about. I'm obsessed with it.
Are you?
Yeah, that's why I mentioned it. Yeah, I'm literally obsessed with it. But yeah, then there's loads of things that people know, like, for example, like crossing your arms is a bad sign, all that sort of stuff, because you're closing off, all that sort of stuff. So some people know little bits about it, don't they? But subconsciously, if you're on a date, you should be interested in the person. So you naturally just do whatever.
What would be natural, I know. And interestingly, we are actually very good at reading body language. It's something that is programmed into us from a really young age, because before we learn to speak as children, all we have to communicate are, you know, maybe one or two words, but it's our bodies. So we're actually, we learn to speak with our bodies and we learn to read body language before we learn actual language. So we are naturally very good at it. It's just whether or not you can pick up on those cues and interpret them like in the here and now.
Go on.
Is eye contact classed as body language as well? Does that?
Yeah, absolutely. Eye contact is 100%. So if someone is interested in you or you're interested in someone, you will find yourselves looking more into their eyes. And what happens there within our bodies is eye contact actually produces hormones and chemicals such as oxytocin and serotonin. So through like long lingering eye contact, we actually get feel good chemicals going off. So we feel more akin to that person, more like we could fall in love with them, which is why there's a big thing at the moment, eye gazing for couples. If you find yourself getting off track, eye gazing for 10 minutes at a time actually brings you closer together emotionally, because it creates these fantastic feel good feelings inside your body. So yeah, eye contact is definitely something to look out for.
That is something that so I never knew what eye gazing was until I'm currently abroad. I don't mean to rub it in.
Oh, where are you, fucking LCC? It's not like you fucking tell us every week.
I'm in Bali and it's a big thing here to do eye gazing. So they've got like this, I think because it's been learnt, there's a lot of what should we call them? Playboys out here who have learnt how to do the eye gazing and will share that they've been to meditation classes and they've learned about this so that you feel more connected to them. But actually it's just a learnt behavior to kind of pick up women. However,
exploiting the purity of eye gazing.
Trust me, stare in my eyes for more than 30 seconds and I am done. So I completely get it. But it is a very, very powerful tool. And I've been doing it in classes with friends as well. And I found that I have, like, there's a level of connection that you can't even explain. So we'll come out of the class and I felt immediately closer to them. I feel like I've looked into their eyes and I know something about them that no one will ever know, because we've just connected just through staring and no words at all. It's actually quite, Pete, I think you'd be quite good at this.
Do you know what?
Are you doing it now? Is this you getting weird on me? Oh, you paused.
Yeah.
No, I actually paused.
Eye contact is probably my favourite thing. If someone can't look me in the eye, and I think eye contact is really important, but my nan always told me, especially when I was young, that if you're ever going to fall in love, you fall in love with someone's eyes. I think I've told you this before. It's the only thing that doesn't lie and it's the only thing that doesn't age. So I've always taken that with me. So I'm obsessed with people's eyes and eye contact, absolutely obsessed with it. If someone can't hold eye contact, I find it very weird and I find it quite awkward and I find it quite hard to connect with them. So yeah, so, but I think that's something that, because obviously now we have terms for all these sort of things, but these body language is something that's been around obviously since the beginning of time, isn't it? So it's only now that people have different words for all these kind of different.
What about?
I think it's also I was just gonna say it's only now we're really understanding or beginning to understand the importance of body language and how that can benefit you, because we are like a wellness generation, like we are all into like things that can improve our lives, and even if it's the tiniest little bit, and just by getting to grips with body language and what that is and what that means and what it can actually do for you and your relationship, we're only really beginning to understand and appreciate that.
So for people who are you know, dating, listening to the show, who might be dating, who find body language hard, because if you're nervous or whatever else on a date, then you may not be giving off, you'd be fidgety or whatever else, and it might not be because you're not interested in that person, you're just very nervous or whatever else, which I presume can affect your nonverbal communication.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. Nerves can be an absolute toxicity to a natural body language.
Yeah, yeah. So what can people do then to improve their body language and actually show how they're actually feeling?
Well, relaxation techniques are a huge help. If you can get yourself in a headspace where you feel more comfortable, then that's obviously going to trickle down into your body language, because it will be more natural. But saying that and doing that are two very different things. If you are someone who is affected by nerves, it's almost impossible to pull yourself out of that once you've gone a little bit too far. So what I would say is, if being in the flesh makes you feel a bit like, oh, I can't, you know, that's going to make me really nervous. Have a few practice dates, have some phone calls with that person first and become more comfortable with them in a separated way before you try and bring yourselves together. And then that will give you, you know, you might have developed a couple of little in jokes, little things that are going to get you laughing. Because laughter is very important in managing nerves. If you can kind of laugh it off or laugh through it, you can almost get through it at the same time. So I would say familiarize yourself with the person before you go to a physical date where body language is key.
See, I think I've gone the other way because years ago I studied acting, and our job was to study body language, and you know, we learned what it would look like. We learned to mimic. So whenever I'm mimicking someone, I know that I'm into the conversation because we're, you know, whatever they're doing, I'm doing the same. But then I will second guess it, or I will stop myself because I'm almost like, oh shit, I'm mimicking, which means they know that I fancy them. They probably have no idea because they probably haven't done the study that I did 10 years ago, or whatever it was. But then I stop myself from doing it because I don't know why I stopped myself, actually.
You've done a lot of thinking about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're overthinking it.
Massively. Like I can't even tell you how, on a date, it's almost like I've talked myself out of the date. I'm on the date thinking, well, I can't do this because then they'll think I fancy them, which is why I'm on the fucking date in the first place.
So really, you're your own worst enemy.
Yes, there we go. That's where I'm at.
Would you, obviously Cece and I are very good friends, so we've not dated or anything like that. So I've got no idea what you would be like on a date, Cece. Do you think you are do you think your body language replicates how you actually feel on a date? Do you think you are quite...
Well, that's what I mean. It probably does, but then I'll see what I'm doing. So I'm like, shit, they've crossed their legs, I've crossed my legs.
But you must have been on dates where you're not thinking that, or on every date that you're thinking.
Yeah, when I'm absolutely fucked, I think I guess my sexy side comes out. And so because I've had a drink, so I'm a bit more confident. So I'm like, right, I'm going to put it on a bit more and show them that, you know...
Annabelle, because of what you do, because of your knowledge around, you know, sex and relationships and body language and all that sort of stuff, do people just assume that you are the perfect person to date and the perfect person? Do you know what I mean by that? Like,
yeah,
they assume that your body language is always going to be great and you know exactly.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I get a lot of people who are analyze me.
Yeah, because they want to analyze what you're doing. Yeah.
They think I'm thinking about it all the time, and that's, you know, whatever I'm doing, it is like I gesticulate a lot, I use my hands all the time, and have kind of developed that into more of a habit since we've been doing Zoom things, because you only get this much of me. Yeah. And I'm very aware of how important body language is, so I've tried to like kind of bring it all up top so I can communicate better. And I think people have definitely kind of looked at me and been thinking, like, what is she trying to say? And what should I be getting from this? But really, it's more, I hardly ever think about body language in terms of myself, probably because I think about it so much in terms of work that by the time we're getting into the private side of my life, it's something that I don't even think about, because it is just, you know, it's part of communication.
Go on, babe.
I was going to say, do you feel like you can tell them when someone's bullshitting because of their body language? Like you're having a business meeting?
Again, yeah, I think
whatever.
I think I can tell when someone is not necessarily lying, but where there's a thread of dishonesty in something. I can see when someone is trying to pull back and be more reserved. I don't know why they're doing that or the reasons, but I can kind of tell if two people are talking, I can tell which one is the kind of more honest party and which one is maybe trying to kind of cover themselves or hide something.
That's in couple therapy, I presume you're just talking about.
Well, if I'm just looking at someone in a restaurant and they're maybe having a little bit of a heated debate, I can tell pretty much who's the person in the wrong is.
Annabelle, do you do that?
Do
you do that a lot? Obviously, you know, I I'm obsessed with people watching. Mm. One of my favourite things to do, I play this sort of on my own because I'm sad. But if I'm out in a restaurant or a bar or whatever else and you see sort of a couple, I try and work out their story because I find it quite interesting. So I think, right, are they on a first date? Is this like early stages? Are they like, you know, in a long-term relationship they don't want to be in? Are they married? I try and work it out. Do you find yourself doing that because of your job?
Oh, constantly. And like the whole staring thing. I've had people where I'm watching them so intently and deciding on their story that at some point I'll realize that they're actually looking at me, looking at them. And I'm like, I'm just trying to get the lady's attention, actually. So I'm just looking, I've seen someone I know right through you. Hi. I have actually pretended to catch someone's eye and then pretended I'm actually looking past them at someone and been like, oh, hi, yeah, yeah. And then just walk past them
to save
embarrassment. But yeah, now telling everyone that it's kind of more embarrassing.
No, I'm exactly the same. I find it absolutely fascinating. It's one of my favourite things. Because obviously you can't hear what people are saying when you're out and you're in different restaurants or whatever. But I find it fascinating to see how people are towards each other. I'm a bit obsessed with stuff. I'm a bit sad.
I don't think it's sad at all. I think a desire to understand humanity on a deeper level is. I think if we all had that, we'd probably get along a lot better as a society.
Obviously, we're running out of time because I like to waffle on. But when it comes to people already in a relationship, let's say people have been together for some amount of time and their non-verbal behaviour, their communication has kind of dwindled a little bit for whatever reason. Are there any tips that you can give people in order to kind of get that back? You mentioned like eye gazing and all that sort of stuff to kind of...
Yeah, eye gazing would be my go-to one.
Would it?
Certainly at the moment, because it is so powerful. Like Cece was saying, you feel so much more connected to that person. And it's also something that at the minute, not a lot of people are actually exploring or even considering. So eye gazing would definitely be the first step for creating stronger bonds, especially if you've been together a while and you feel like things are beginning to slip. You know, they say familiarity breeds contempt, and that is quite the case in a lot of couples I meet. So eye gazing. I would also say little romantic gestures, like go out of your way once a week to do something that you wouldn't normally do that doesn't benefit you in any way, but 100% benefits your partner. That could be something as simple as making a cup of tea or running them a bath. It doesn't have to be a big thing, just a gesture that shows that they were at the forefront of your thoughts at that time. So eye gazing, little spontaneous moments of generosity, and definitely have a little technology detox. Put the screens away, put your phones down at least and spend quality time together.
That is always, whenever I'm at in like restaurants, whatever, that is always the one that fucks me off the most, is when you see a couple and they're both just sat there on their fucking phones. It angers me to the point where I want to go and confiscate the phones and just go on.
It's so addictive and it's there all the time and it's constantly calling you. It's the devil in your pocket. So the devil has moved from your shoulder and it now lives in your pocket.
Yeah. Devil's always been in my pocket, I think.
Annabelle, to people that would find that, you know, I'm sure there's certain partners, exes that I've had, if I said, babe, do you want to stargaze, eye gaze tonight? They would look at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? So how would you bring that up to a partner that maybe is, you know, like spirituality or this, the other world, you know, they couldn't be further away from it? How would you bring that up
I would simply you know, speak to them in the language of sexuality and say, you know, it's a part of foreplay, it's a part of it is a part of sex. It's not like people quite often misconstrue sex as just the idea of penetration, and sex is so much more than that. I mean, that is a whole other episode for another time. But it is part of intimacy, and there's physical and emotional intimacy, and this helps you bring both of those together. So I genuinely believe that if you were to get into eye gazing as a couple, you would find that your sex life would become something completely different and you would feel more connected.
I've never heard of eye gazing, so it's a new one on me. So
there you go, Pete. When you go on your date tonight, you can ask if she wants to eye gaze with you.
If I had a date tonight, I would. I wish I was. Unfortunately, I'll just be at home with a pot noodle and the dogs. Right. So we are going to move on now to the love the way you lie game, which I think a little bit about Annabelle. Yeah.
Oh goodness. Go on.
Okay.
Then.
This is so good.
You're going to tell us three stories, two of which are true and one of which is a liar, and we have to try and guess which one is the liar. So obviously, okay, this is going to be interesting.
I can't be judged for what's about to come out of my mouth.
I'm going
to
be honest with you, babe. The last 2 weeks, both of our guests have shit themselves on one of their stories.
So I think
you're fine. Fine.
Whatever comes out, you'll be.
Don't make it a fucking hat trick because we can't have another guest.
I'll be good.
But yeah, you're definitely not going to be judged. And also, me and Cece share enough of our weird lives. Yeah,
it can't get any worse than us.
Okay, so story number one is it was an anniversary dinner between me and a boyfriend. He cooked for me and made something extraordinarily spicy, which at the time I was not au fait with the world of spice. And the only drink on the table was red wine. So to keep my mouth cool, I downed loads of red wine, blah, yada, yada. Fast forward to the evening when we're having wonderful anniversary sex and I'm on top and suddenly I feel a little nauseous. So I grab the waste paper bin to be sick into, but it is mesh. So instead of being sick into the bin, I puke a shower of vomit onto him.
Absolutely.
That's story number one.
Fabulous.
Story number two is went back to a date's house. It was extraordinarily fancy. It was in Zone 1 in London and it was absolutely gorgeous. And there's a grand piano and went to get some drinks. So I slipped into something more comfortable, lay myself across the piano and his parents walk in. And it's not his house at all. It's his mum and dad's. And then story three is I was on a date with a really handsome guy who I had no connection with whatsoever. But I thought he'd actually be perfect for my flatmate. So I vetted him on the date and then towards the end was like, I don't think this is going to work. But look at how fit my flatmate is. And I got them together. So I played Cupid.
That's a great story. I love it. Okay,
love,
right.
Love, love.
So first story, six Cute. Shower.
Six yeah. shower.
Second story, piano parents. Mm-hmm. Third story, Cilla Black.
Yeah.
Right. Question, Cece.
After you puked, did you carry on?
That was my question. That was my question.
No, we did not.
Okay. Question for number two. How did the parents react?
Shocked. Embarrassed and pleasantly polite about the whole thing.
Okay. Cece, any more questions?
Did you stop immediately? Did you when the parents walked in, or what happened? Like, did you carry on?
I was just like trying to lay across the piano, looking sexy. Like, I was like putting on a show. We actually ended up going out for dinner afterwards.
With the parents.
The parents, yeah.
Wonderful. Okay.
And my question for number three is, how long did your flatmate and this guy date for?
Not that long. They went out on, it was kind of on and off. They went out on a few dates. They banged. So I at least like helped her get her sex life. I was going to say back on track, but it was never off track. I just added to it. It wasn't overly successful, but it happened.
Excellent. Well, listen, if you ever want to set me up with any women that you may meet, Annabelle, then that's because you seem to be a very good job at it. That would be great. Okay, so which one's the liar, Cece?
I'm a bit, stuck with you. I have to lie. I mean, I'm usually I'm really good at this, but I am a bit baffled because I can't work out if you're pretending that you're confused or you're actually confused.
Cece
body language expert.
Yeah.
Cece is notoriously good at this and she gets them right every week. I am fucking dreadful and I never get any rights. I'm going to say that the lie is number two because it sounds like something out of a film. And also when I asked you at the parents, I'm going to say number two.
I see. I thought it was number two until you said you went for dinner with them after and I was like, oh, fuck.
I think that was added out of awkwardness because I don't know. It's a fucking great story if it is number two, though. I wish it is true. I really hope that one's true, but I think it's a lie.
Okay, I'm going to go with two as a lie.
You're right.
Ah!
When you said it was something out of a film, I was in my head going, or TV show, because it was actually on the episode of Friends I watched yesterday. But
that, do you know what? It sounded like something before. A great story. I wish that had happened.
Me too. But I wish it had happened because it's less bad than being sick on someone through a bin.
Like, but that's fucking brilliant. Oh, I love that.
It's one of my lowest points.
Do you know what's really surprising? Whenever we have guests on, how many people have had mishaps like that in the bedroom? Like the two guests we had previously, well put, like Pete. I said, yeah, I'm trying to be polite with it. Because I've never had anything like that.
You've never even like felt sick?
No. I mean, I've never had like a girl last week. I think one of the stories was someone that was having sex and then shit on her partner.
Heard that so many times. Fortunately, it's never happened to me in like for myself or the person I've been with. But I know I know four people that have had toileting mishaps in the bedroom. Yeah,
like I've never had it. Like over the years, I've never had a girl like any throw up, do anything like that. I've never done it either. I've been lucky, touch wood.
I've been the girl, so yeah, there we go.
There we go then.
There we go.
Annabelle, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
Goodbye, babe.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Oh, I love it when we get experts on, actual experts. It always just gives me stuff to think about.
Yeah, so if you're going to do anything from today's show, listen to Annabelle and not to us.
And... Eye gaze. It's so fun. It's fucking awkward at the start, but then you get over it and then you just want to shack. Right. Should we move on?
I think we should. Should we go on to our favourite part of the show?
Yeah, why not?
Listeners, questions and stories. So you are listening to The Dating Show on Fubar Radio. So we are coming towards the end of the show. So we're going to do listeners, questions and stories. And first up, we have a dating story, which is a voice note, which we haven't had for a while, from Gemma.
No, Jemima.
Oh, yes, Jemima, sorry.
Where's she from?
I'm going to say Jemima is from... I reckon she's a dirty bitch.
I think she's... Okay, you think she's a dirty bitch and I think she's from Loughton.
I just want her to be a dirty bitch.
All right, then.
So I was on a night out with the girls and we met this group of guys and we went back to theirs just to have a few more drinks. I ended up sleeping with one of them and he was really nice, but then he just sort of like left me to go downstairs and hang out with everyone. I ended up falling asleep and the girls came upstairs and they were like, oh, he said he's coming with us, so like, let's go, we'll go back now. And I saw his phone on the like bedside table, so I picked it up to take downstairs to give to him. And then as I went downstairs, he had a go at me for wearing his jumper. And then there was a bit of an argument with him and the girls saying that he should treat me with more respect, blah, blah. Anyway, we ended up leaving, and as we were in the Uber, after he'd shut the door on us and was laughing at us, I realised I'd kept his phone, which was a complete accident. I only had this guy's first name, which let's just say it was Henry. Oh, I was too hungover the next day. The day after that was a Sunday, so I couldn't post it. So Monday, I just had to post it and put Henry question mark. So he'll probably have his phone, but I'll never be able to get hold of him again.
Good. You should have just fucking kept it. He sounds like a wanker.
He does sound like a bit of a twat. Yeah. And yeah, he sounds like a right twat, Henry.
If you're going to thieve from someone, you might as well thieve from a wanker.
And there we go. Nothing else to say to that.
Jemima, love that story. You robber.
You, okay. Add a little insult.
No, I like that. Good.
I like
Fuck
it.
Him. Sounds like a knob.
Should we go to our next one? Are we advice? You ready for this?
Okay, this is advice. This person is remaining anonymous. And the first line is, okay, do you want to read or shall I?
No, you read it. I've just read the first line. You definitely read it.
Okay, anonymous. I'm a 30-year-old virgin. It's not that I don't want to have sex, I really do. I'm not expecting a ring first. I'm just a combination of someone who was a commitment phobe, but also doesn't really do casual sex. I've been working on things and now in a really good place. I'm looking to actively date and hopefully, finally, make a connection with someone. So my dilemma is, when I do meet a guy, should I tell them first that I'm a virgin? I'm torn between if I trust them enough to sleep with them, I should also trust them enough with that information. But equally, I don't want them to feel like I'm piling pressure on. Fucking good question. Oh, that's a really good question.
I know, that threw me a little bit. So,
Anonymous is a 30-year-old virgin. She's in a really good place and she is ready to have sex now, date someone and have sex. Does she tell them that she's a virgin or not?
Yeah, of course she does.
I completely agree. Tell them. It's not a, listen, it's nothing to be
ashamed of.
Ashamed of, yeah, exactly. We are all very, very different. And like you just said in that message, Anonymous, who I'm going to call
Sarah.
Karen.
Oh, no, yeah, but Karen, no, but that's an insult.
All right, I'm going to call Sarah.
Call us, call her Sarah.
Because you're calling her Sarah. So, Sarah, if you're completely right. If you actually trust the person enough to have sex with them for the first time, then I think you should be able to trust them to tell that information. So I think you've answered your own question, really.
Definitely, yeah.
Also, if it's someone, listen, piling the pressure on someone, I don't think that is pressure, but it might make them more thoughtful in the fact that if you are a virgin, that they need to just not be a fucking prick.
Yeah, it might take a while to find someone you trust enough, especially if you have not ever given yourself to someone in that way before. But someone,
go on.
Well, I was going to say, I think you will, purely because she hasn't had sex before, she will, her radar for fucking idiots will be higher than maybe someone else's. So, you know, if she's waited 30 years, she can wait fucking longer for the next, for the nice enough person to have the privilege of sleeping with her. So I think she'll be fine.
As a bloke as well, I would want to know.
God, yeah.
I would want
as a woman, but anyone you'd want to know, because, you know, you have an expectation of, like, and also...
Well, the reason I'd want to know, put it this way, is because...
didn't shag the shit out of her.
Such... Yeah.
And it might hurt.
Yeah, I would potentially not be as...
aggressive, angry.
But more to the point, I think it's about, for example, if I was on a date with someone, I was dating someone and I saw it going somewhere, then that wouldn't bother me. If I was kind of in a position where I was like, well, you know, I'm having a bit of fun, but I don't really see this going anywhere, I would want to know, because actually I would say that. I would be more inclined to say that because I wouldn't want to be the person that took someone's virginity not thinking it was going to go somewhere or not thinking there was an opportunity for it to go somewhere.
Definitely. It's quite a lot of pressure,
I would feel like a bit of a dickhead. So it wouldn't put pressure on me in terms of, oh, this person virgin, what's the sex going to be like, all that sort of stuff. It would just make me think, right, you're in a position where... you know, you're 30 years old and you haven't had sex with anyone because you're not trusting anyone enough. If I'm not on the same mindset as that, and for me it's not as serious, then I would also then have to say something.
I couldn't agree more.
So, yeah. So advice is tell him.
I don't think, I mean, you've got to be a real fucking arsehole to be weird about that situation. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? If someone had if there's a negative response to her being a virgin, fucking hell, you've got to be some kind of person.
And on a side note, if you are looking for any tips on fucking, then Cece is very, very experienced.
Like, I have so much experience.
Yeah, she fucks for
fun. Oh my God, I have so much experience.
But yeah, listen, go with it. It's a good thing. It's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Love that. Respect yourself.
Respect yourself and you'll be respected.
And on the plus side, you are about to enter the world of sex, which is fucking fabulous.
Maybe she can start with some eye gazing.
Potentially.
That might be a good... Well, I think that'd be great to start with if you've never had sex before. Fucking hell. I need someone to find someone to eye gaze with now.
Anonymous, when it finally does happen, I want you to email us back and let us know how fucking great it was.
You can still be anonymous. It's absolutely fine.
Yes, but just put anonymous.
Sarah. We named her Sarah now. Anonymous Sarah.
Anonymous Sarah. Right, so that's it for the end of the show. You have been listening to The Dating Show on Foodwell Radio. Thanks to everyone for sending in the stories and questions. You can email us and tell us some of your stories or ask us some advice by getting in touch at thedatingshow@foodwellradio.com, or you can find out everything about The Dating Show on Instagram, which is the home, the HQ, the hub of everything Dating Show. And that's thedating_show. Right, ta-da.
Ta-da, yeah. I'm gonna go and find someone to. I am literally gonna find someone to star. I keep calling it stargaze.
Cece's gonna go eye gazing, and I am gonna go and try and control my dogs in a photo shoot.
Until next week, then.
Love you. Goodbye.
Bye.